Trust in God at all times. Congregation, is that not easier said than experienced? That in every hour, every day, in every situation, at all times, trust in God. Times of stress and stressful situations, as we will see in the verses 3 and 4 and 9 and 10. Or as recently I read of the American Psychological Society that concluded that teenagers reported worse mental health and higher level of anxieties and depression than all other age groups. In fact, the Pew Research has found that 70% of teenagers see anxiety and depression as a major problem in their own life. And I think, friends, that is not passing by the church, our young people. Trust in God. That means also a time of waiting. First one, truly, surely, my soul waits for God. Or you can translate silently wait for God, being still before God. Even in a time of being troubled. And yet, by grace to be brought at a place, and that it might be tonight or this coming week, to be silenced before God, where God is our only real hope. Friends, that is a merciful experience. And therefore, let us meditate on Psalm 62 with the help of the Lord and learn maybe for the first time or being reminded that trusting in God is not what you will get in the end, but it is about what you become as you wait. To be reminded that our ultimate trust is not in our own plans, our young people, our Googled information, or our government. The official motto of the United States, adopted in 1956, is "In God we trust." It is even monetized on your dollar bill. But it's our ultimate trust, not even in medical experts or economists, how important and helpful these people may be, but in God, the God of Psalm 62, as he makes himself known to us this night, that it is he we wait upon for our salvation, for our deliverance, that he alone is the only one who can deliver from stress, from sin. And therefore, three brief main points that arises from the meditation on this psalm that speaks of trust in God. In the first place, why we need it, and why we need to trust in God. What it is, what is the meaning of trusting in God. And in the third place, how it ought to transform us. How should this trusting in God transform us? For young people, simply said, this psalm speaks of three things: observation, interpretation, and application. Observation, why do we need to trust God? The interpretation, what does it mean to trust in God? And the application, how should it change my life? So in the first place then, why do we need to trust in God? In other words, what is our need? And therefore our need to trust him and him alone. See the need, Verse 3, how long will you imagine mischief against the many? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowling wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Meaning, and I think that is maybe a better translation from the original, how long will you all attack a man and batter him? And this man feels like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. How long? Season of desperation. Season of discouragement. Feeling overwhelmed. And those times, like in Psalm 61. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. Times that you feel weak and vulnerable and fragile to experience. We are going to topple over and crumble. That is what meant in verse 3. A leaning wall and a tottering fence. On the verge of collapse. You might feel tempted to panic. Those times, as in Psalm 63, being in a dry and thirsty land and there is no water. Maybe those times in your life. Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Never had that in your life? Cast down? Troubled soul? You are troubled, a troubled person through the outward circumstances, as we see in verses 3 and 4 in particular, and feeling inward. Now, psychiatry will tell you that a troubled person experiences fear, anxiety about the future, guilty for having problems, shame, despair, the feeling, the harder I work, the more I fall behind. Or in the words of the living God, as in this psalm, when you imagine mischief. Mischief is being or have the experience to be attacked, assailed, threatened, troubled. You feel defenseless, no expectations, no strength. Do you see your need? Those troubled situations in life that you think or act or experience, me versus them. Verse 3, me versus you, all of you. They, verse 4, want to cast you down. They delight in life. They bless outwardly, but they curse inwardly. Where do you go in those times of life? How do you get out of such a troubled situation when you are troubled outwardly and inwardly? But friends, does it not show our deepest need? Is this not a metaphor of our deepest need, of your and my sin? Because sin leaves you with fear. Sin leaves you with guilt. Sin, when you sin, there is shame. There is despair. But maybe times in your life that you say, Lord, have patience with me, and you work harder to get rid of your sin, only to see that you fail and falter. And people get emotionally disturbed and troubled when they know they are guilty of sin. They try to cover up, blaming others. Never noticed this in your life? Or come to a place as the psalmist in 38, I am troubled by my sin. When was it the last time that you were troubled? Because of your sin. In Psalm 51, for I acknowledge my transgressions, troubled by them, and my sins is always before me. Are you troubled by your sin? Do you see your need? Your great need in every circumstance of life, trouble, testing, temptation, shortcomings, your sin. Do you wait then on the Lord to trust Him at all times? Have you found a remedy? Because in our second thought, what does it mean to trust in God? Verse 8, trust in Him. And congregation, the Psalms are full of such command and promise. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots and horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 22, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Friends, if our fathers trusted in him and delivered them, would you not trust him as well? Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 56, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. To trust means to lean on, to rely on, to rest on. Friends, it has been a while that I have preached here, but how are we doing? How are we doing? In the midst of the busyness of life, young people may be living with anxiety, maybe worry about the future. Those times when you see your sin, when sin rises up against you and you fall and you falter. Trust in the Lord at all times. Trusting in testing times, leaning, relying, resting. First one, truly, my soul, that is my whole being, my head, my heart, my hands, waits upon God. Friends, this is becoming silent before God. Silence, it is not often that we are used to that in our busy and noisy life, but here it is, my soul silently waits for God. If you ever come to such a place in your life, a place of waiting, becoming silent before God, in the midst of your current challenges, your concerns that you have, maybe the cares that you have brought into church this night, maybe in light of this psalm, seeing your shortcomings and your sins and your failings and your flaws, maybe there are in our midst troubled persons who came tonight to church, and then you ask at times, where is God in all of this? Does he hear my prayers? How long? Not only for those around you, those who trouble you, mischief, how long? Oh Lord! So the psalmist in 13 said, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long? Yet it can be the experience of the heart, the experience in your life. But if you come to a point in your life, not only once, but time and again, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. For God alone, only Him, that remain. Because you have learned by grace, there is no expectation of yourself or others. Then other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of helpless. Learned by grace, poor and needy, troubled, soul troubled, the turmoil and the tempest of the heart, the shadows of life, and yet this remain. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. For him alone. And friends, that is not a passive waiting, but it is an active waiting by grace. Active waiting on God. Why? Because from Him comes my salvation, my delivery, my security, my rest, my strength, from Him and Him alone. Why? Because He, verse 2, is my rock, my salvation, my defense, verse 3, my expectation, verse 5. He only is, no one else, is my rock, my salvation, my defense, my salvation, verse 7. My glory, my strength, my refuge is in God. To whom else shall you go then? With your troubled heart and life, with your anxiety and worry, with your soul turmoil, with your sin-tainted life. Look, moralism and legalism will tell you, hope. Only what you can do is hope. Hope in Him. More you cannot do. To wait, passively waiting for the Lord. But friends, a one-sided work of grace works in your heart, proclaims, as Horatius Bonar once wrote, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art, that alone can my soul true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tossed and tempest heart. Oh, to learn more and experience more His loving kindness and kind grace, because He is my rock, my strength, my expectation, my salvation. And that even for such one as you are. And that gives a waiting, an active waiting for the Lord. Truly, truly, my soul waits for God. He is my refuge, a hiding place, a place of rest in the storms of life, even now. Do you, have you taken refuge in Him? Do you wait with expectation, come what comes, but on the Lord I will wait? If that is you, wait then on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It may be one in our midst will ask, how is that now possible for such one as I am in myself? How is it possible to have such a trust in God, such a leaning on Him, such a relying on Him, such resting on Him, such waiting for Him and Him alone? Is it not, friends, only and because of Christ, the Son of Man, who also is the Son of God Himself? From Him comes my salvation. Or in the original is salvation Yeshua, my Joshua, my Jesus. It is He who delivers and save His people from their sin. That, friends, young people, that is salvation. For your complete need, there is a complete Savior. Because is it not said of Christ, what is echoed here in verse 3 and 4, who who was reproached, Christ who was reproached of men, mischief against him at Gabbatha. When on the cross, on Golgotha, for example, Psalm 22, all they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out their lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Is it not an echo of verse 4 of our psalm? They consult to cast him down from excellence. They delight in light. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Is it not Christ who cried out on the cross, be it far from me, for trouble, troubled person? Trouble is near, for there is none to help. Why have thou forsaken me? Friends, is it not Christ on the cross who experienced a deep, troubled soul? I am poured out like water, and my strength is dried up like a potsherd. Is it not Christ in Gethsemane, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, did not defend himself? Is not he Christ who left a place of glory? And that for who? For a people like you and me, troubled, in turmoil, and people with anxiety, fear, stress, and sin. For a people like you and me, sinners. Sinners before God. Silenced before God. Seeing your sin. For each of his children. Friends, here is Christ. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. My strength, my refuge, my glory. Friends, is it not he, Christ, the glory of the cross, so that you can say and experience, he is my glory? Here is Christ, who did not open his mouth, did not defend himself, so that you can say and experience, he is my defense. Here is Christ, whose strength was dried up, so that you can rest, lean, and rely on his strength and say, he, oh yes, he is my strength. Here is Christ, forsaken by his Father, that you are never forsaken by him and accepted by him. To whom else? To whom else shall you then go? Would you not take refuge in him? Oh, pour out your heart to him. He who was poured out like water. Trust in him then at all times. And where you did not deserve anything but death because of your sin. But God gave everything that he had, his son, Jesus, Yeshua. Would you not wait for him? Would you not take refuge in him? Would you not find your strength in him? In your external circumstances and challenges of life? Or when there is internal crisis, turmoil, and trouble of the heart? Those moments in your life when you keenly feel your weakness and your vulnerability, your shortcomings and your sin, but coming to the place where other comforts and hopes are removed and or fails, and then to experience, for Christ's sake, coming at such a place where the Lord is your only and you really hope and trust. Is that not a merciful experience? This experience, his loving kindness, is better than life and all its circumstances, outwardly and inwardly. And his help and his strength, being in the shadow of his wings, there is rejoicing. Oh, friends, such seasons of life teach us what trust means. And it trains us to actually trust in God. Such seasons of waiting on the Lord, surrounded maybe by trouble, and then something happens, so counterintuitive for the says so-called modern Americans to stop and to pause. Verse 4 and 8, sila, meaning it ceases action. You go silent, silent before God, and it teaches and trains you what you become as you wait, trusting in God, exercising and experiencing to trust in Him. Friends, that is finding Christ again as your salvation, as your defense, as your strength, as your glory, as your reliance, refuge, your rest. That is a living out of Him and Him alone again. That are those times that you can say, that you can sing, that you can say, my Savior, neath thy sheltering wings my soul delights to dwell, for near thee all is well. Let us sing that together of Psalter 163, 163, stanza 3. My Savior, neath thy sheltering wings my soul delights to dwell, still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. And what follows, 163, the third stanza. Trust in God at all times. This leaning, this resting, this relying on Christ, taking refuge in Him. Even, no, I would say, particularly in times when the heart is troubled, when your life is in turmoil, when sin is experienced and shortcomings stare you in the face, when you have learned by grace not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands, could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all could never sin erase, thou must save and save by grace. Learn nothing, nothing in my hands I bring, but Christ, my glory. Young people, glory is the most weightiest and most important one in my life. But Christ, my salvation, my strength. It's personal, hè? Young people, Christianity exists of personal pronouns. My salvation. My strength. And congregation, then I ask you, if you cannot deny that in your life, and I'm not asking how deep or how much is experience, even the most struggling soul in our midst, taking refuge in him, if that is you, who cannot miss him anymore, learned in the beginning and time again, he only is my rock, my defense, my Jesus. Friends, then I ask you, ought this not to transform you, change you? Our last point, and I will give but three aspects how this trusting in God for Christ's sake ought to transform us. First, you see, here we meet one in verses 1 to 7 with this personal experience. Who can say, he is my strength, my refuge? When you cannot deny that in your life, there's grace, eh? Undeserved grace. Then I ask you, can you keep him, your rock, your salvation, your strength, your refuge? Can you keep that now for yourself? Would you not share with others around you? Look, the change, eh? The first 7 verses is all about I and me and my. And then verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pause for a moment. For us. For you. So undeserved, and yet he is a refuge for us. Here is one who knows personally what waiting on the Lord is, a trusting waiting and a waiting in trust. Here is one who, despite of himself, is stressed, struggles, have no salvation in himself. Here is one, despite the anxiety and worry, in a time that it seems that life is a collapsing wall, a tottering fence, weak, vulnerable, troubled in your soul, but has experienced by grace, truly, truly, the weight on God is worth of such infinite worth. In Christ, he only is my rock for my wavering soul. He is my salvation, my Jesus, and only him. He is my strength when I have no strength in myself anymore. He is my glory when I have no glory in myself. A refuge for my struggling soul that is, despite maybe experienced the bitterness of sin, but also knows something of the sweetness of Christ. Experience salvation of the righteousness of the Lord. He is the strength in a time of trouble. That is personally know something, this poor man, this poor woman, this boy, this girl in our midst cried. And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard her and saved him, her, out of all his troubles. Would you not share that with those around you? Would you not testify, parents? Come, children, hearken, listen to me. I will teach you, share with you. The fear of the Lord teach you what it means to trust in the Lord, to trust in Christ and him alone, what it truly means to seek your life out of yourself in Christ Jesus, to have this anchor in your life in him. Testify of that, of him in community, in church, in your family, in your Bible study. Those times when the Lord came over, spoke to your soul, revived you, refreshed you, when his face shines on you once more. Would you not share that? This transformation, what he has done and still does for my soul. Friends, if it was possible for me, then it is possible for others as well. And you can encourage, oh ye people, trust in him. Pour out before him. Keep nothing back. Tell him everything that hurts and pains you. Pour out all your complaints. You may tell it to him. Maybe you have been foolish as to look to this or to that for relief, and you have found none. And now you have come to him. Will you not share that? Him who invites, even tonight, graciously, generously now, pour out, he says to you, pour out your hearts before me. I am your refuge, your strength. I am your salvation. Oh, he is your rock. Christ is this high rock on which you may stand above the floods, the turmoil that otherwise would overwhelm you. God is a refuge for us, not only for me, but for us. Oh, share that in community, that first. Yes, at times that makes you vulnerable, but you also can embrace. And you can encourage those who struggle and are troubled. Secondly, how this trust in God ought to transform us for Christ's sake is to remember not to trust in anything else than Jesus, God in Christ. Verse 9, not in men, men of low degree. In the original, when you translate it, sons of Adam, in which ultimately there is no help. And the Psalms are full of it. Take, for example, Psalm 146. Put not your trust in princes. And it can be difficult at times, having great expectation for this one or for that one, but ultimately there is no help. Why? Because his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and on that very day his thoughts perish. And late in the balance, and be honest tonight, it is vanity. Not in men, but God. In him I trust. Also, not wealth, verse 10, if riches increases. And it is a blessing that you have it. It is a privilege, a responsibility. But don't set your heart on it. Don't put your identity in it. Remember, your only trust is in him. Not people, not possessions. And thirdly, how this trusting in God ought to transform, to learn by grace, to trust him more for Christ's sake. God has spoken once, said the psalmist at the end. God has spoken once. You hear? There's no need for him to speak twice, as though he had changed. But he speaks plainly, powerfully, unchangeable. As it was for the psalmist, so it is for us, through the living word. And when we speak often, we say nothing. But when God speaks once, he speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. But twice I have heard this. That is continually. And therefore, children, young people, therefore we come to church time and time again. To hear again who he is and who we are. Hearing, listening with your ears and with your heart. That's twice. To be reminded on, to be refreshed by, revived through his word. Even now this evening. hearing. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That is his promise. And always promises are places of refuge where you may and can flee when you feel weak. That is also for you, young people, maybe full of anxiety and worries and concerns about the future, stressed about it. But the Lord says tonight to you, there is place with me. Trust me and me alone. There is a place of refuge in me. O come then, weary and burdened ones. And I, says the Lord, this Christ says, and I will give you rest. And young adults, this rest ultimately is better than any pill you take for your anxiety and anxious life and your digital life. Trusting in God. Friends, it may take time to have a deeper understanding of that. What I mean is this. How do you trust a person in natural life? How do you trust a person? When you get to know that person more and more and more acquainted with that person, that it is seen and then you experience that he or she is trustworthy. One whose promises are true and come to pass, it happens. And so, when you are more and more acquainted with God, with Christ, through his word, through his work, through his providence, he is not different than he reveals, makes himself known through his word. But the more that you are acquainted with him, you realize more and more an experience. But with the Lord, there belongs power, verse 12. When you don't have any strength anymore, those times of trouble and testing, and it seems that your world is collapsing. Or have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, that it is he who gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait, do you hear? Yeah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you not trust him at all times? Should that not transform you to direct you to Christ and him alone again? Oh, to experience also unto thee, O Lord, verse 12, belongs mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, friends, we need it so much, so daily, in need of forgiveness and his mercy. Would you therefore not trust in God for Christ's sake? Should that not leave you a changed person for this week, seeing the mercy of the Lord? Kneel every morning, kneel even now. Oh, trust then in him at all times. And then the last word that the Lord speaks to us tonight, the word of the Lord, the concluding word of the Lord. For you renders to every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl, according to his or her work, according to your work. And friends, if that is your own work, if that still is your own work, still a trusting in yourself, you will perish. I urge you, I urge you as an ambassador of this God who can be trusted, Christ, this Savior, who has given himself freely and who must be freely received, turn to him. Now, don't delay. Don't despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Do you not know? Do you not know that it is the goodness of God, his power, his mercy, his strength, his salvation leads you to repentance? Trust him. He is your refuge. And also for you, if your work became your ruin, your ash heap, and he passed by and he scooped you up, and his work became yours, he became your salvation, your defense, your strength, your refuge, trust again continually in him at all times, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless thy word, brought with much shortcoming, but will give that the fruit of thy word is found in our life this week, to trust thee, for Christ's sake, more and more and more. Remember us in thy mercy, each of us, and that we truly may experience God is a refuge for us. And that we can say to one another, trust in him, ye people. Lord, glorify thyself in the midst of the congregation, also in this new week, and that for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Congregation, we conclude with the singing of Psalter 162, the stanzas 1 and 2. My soul in silence wait for God. My Savior, he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. And what follows, 162, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. congregation can home in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.